Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Emarsys is the largest independent marketing platform company in the world. Their software enables truly personalized one-to-one interactions between marketers and customers across all channels. They help you build loyalty and enrich the customer journey while increasing your revenue. Go to emarsys.com/futurecommerce to request a demo and see for yourself how Emarsys can help your company scale marketing decisions. That's Emarsys, emarsys.com/futurecommerce.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip, and we're live at IRCE 2018 at the Vertex booth.
What?
Excited to be here, and a very special shout out to Aaron Kissling of Vertex for making this happen. We're very excited to be having some co-sponsored content on the show. And this is not an advertisement for Vertex so much as Vertex is actually leading the conversation and around some really timely and topical things for merchants. And so it's going to be a really great show here today. Brian, you want to introduce our special guest?
Yeah, it's Dave Pelton, the product line leader at Vertex. Dave's got some great thoughts on what's happening in the world right now. But first, tell us a little bit about Vertex and, you know, kind of what makes Vertex special. And then how did you get into this, you know, world of tax? Who are you?
Okay, Vertex has been around for about 40 years. We have serviced traditionally the largest companies of the world, people like Amazon and Apple and Target and Best Buy. We more recently moved, as a company in the last 5 years, moved into the e-commerce space and moved down market to serve all segments of the market with the same level of service. We've got, you can imagine, you know, the demands out of the largest companies of the world are pretty high from a service point of view, from a handling their tax solution point of view. So we're bringing all that learning down to the mid-market and at the right price point and the right service level to service those customers. So.
And yeah. Everybody has to, anybody who sells anything is a potential customer for you because everybody has to calculate tax when they sell products, right?
Yes, tax is not sexy. I'm not the most popular person at the cocktail party when I start talking about what I do, but everybody knows that they have to do. It's death and taxes.
Right.
So, and we do a valuable, we try to take the complexity out and automate it so companies don't have to worry about tax.
We were talking a little bit about how merchants, it's one of those things that people don't think about as being so integral to your business. And it's very difficult for a company to make the switch to a new tax provider. So a lot of companies, it sounds a lot like other areas of e-commerce where the companies might be traditionally trying to in-house some of that, and they don't realize what they're missing out on. What does Vertex do for someone in the mid-market who's looking to outsource their tax compliance or calculation services?
Right. Well, it'll tell you the truth, in a lot of cases, if a company is only in a small number of states, they opt to just put in the rates and the rules themselves because that's not a big job.
Right.
It's when a company gets into 10 states or 20 states, because the thing about sales tax is every state has their own rules. So clothing may be taxable in one state, it's not taxable in another state.
Right.
Food might be taxable, not taxable. The idea, there's a difference between a Snickers bar and a Twix bar in some states.
Wow.
They're not just candy. One's a cookie. The Twix is a cookie, so it's taxed differently than a Snickers bar, which is a candy.
Wow.
And that's in one or two states, not every state. And imagine the research you have to do if you're selling a lot of products online to know every state that you're going to sell, you know, have a presence in.
And that's the example I use a lot, too, is every state and even certain counties have specific tax holidays for certain types of products. And there's when you start thinking at that level, it does become like that can be very time intensive, labor intensive for a business to try to manage on their own. So outside of just what the product does, we had an interesting conversation. It's kind of what I wanted to focus on today, especially on the future commerce side, around how, especially here in North America and in the United States in particular, laws are changing pretty rapidly in this space to try to, states are trying to get revenue from more and more companies becoming either pure play e-commerce businesses or having to, or expanding their business into other states. And I know that that's something that's top of mind for you guys.
Yeah. So what the environment that we're into now is states are looking at the fact that by 2020, 40% of sales will be online.
Right.
So that's a huge amount of revenue that they potentially lose if they're not able to collect sales tax. And today, the rules behind whether you have to collect sales tax and remit it in a state is if you have a physical presence. It's called physical nexus. You have employees that work there, you have offices that work there, you go to a lot of conferences in that state, that will trip you into physical nexus. So, but a lot of companies try to avoid having physical nexus in a lot of places so they don't have to collect and remit sales tax. So with all that movement going, especially on the e-commerce front, so if you're an e-commerce vendor, you don't care what state they're in, you want to sell them product.
Right.
So, and you want to limit the physical nexus that you have. So with the states seeing this trend, they're crying foul. They've been trying to get Congress to make a change. And finally, the Supreme Court, having not seen Congress act on it, is hearing a case right now that could change this rule of nexus from not whether you have physical presence, but whether you are actually selling, into a state.
Hmm. So it's tell us more about this case.
Yeah, it's called Wayfair versus South Dakota. In January, the Supreme Court decided to hear the case. And in order for them to do that, 4 out of the 9 justices have to say, yeah, I think it's worthwhile to have a discussion about this. So they had not, the original case, which set up the physical nexus, was heard in 1992. That was the Quill case. So for the lab, they've been waiting for Congress to solve this problem. It's been a growing problem with the growth of e-commerce. So they finally stepped back and said, okay, we'll hear it. So they actually talked about it on April 17th, and they've already decided it, but they're in the process of writing up whether they're gonna change the rules for Nexus or keep the rules for Nexus as they stand now.
I'd love to actually let's play a little bit of the choose your own adventure, if you wouldn't mind. I didn't prep you for this, by the way. What happens if? Let's talk about both scenarios,
yes.
or maybe there's some gradient in between.
Yes.
What happens if the Supreme Court decides that the rule as it stands today is sort of the we'll go on as we've been transacting, which I would gather has been this way for hundreds of years, right? So the catalog businesses have existed.
Yes.
Sears built its whole business that way. This can't be a new phenomenon, transacting across state lines and not having to pay sales tax unless you have a physical presence there. If we keep on in that direction, how does that play out?
So if we keep on that direction, the states have already started to try to figure out how they can go after the customers that aren't paying sales tax. Hmm. So they're already putting in reporting requirements. So merchants are being asked in certain states, you've got to send us a report of all your transactions in the state with a lot of detail so we can figure out how much you should have charged in tax, and we can try to go after those people for tax. So that's a burdensome thing. They're also asking merchants to put up a notice on their website that makes sure the buyer understands that they should be paying sales tax. So all of a sudden the econ, it's kind of more restrictions.
On a state by state basis.
Yeah,
imagine,
South Dakota wants to put up a notice, and so does Colorado, and so does California. They all have different notices. So you have different notices that you have to put up, or you'll be.
Would that be based on how would they even track this? Would it be based on billing address, shipping address?
That's already different on a state by state basis.
Yeah.
So
it's all very different.
Yeah.
How tax is calculated is very different.
Exactly.
Some states you have to have billing address,
yes.
order and shipping.
Exactly.
And it's going to be a burden, or it's beginning to be a burden already.
And so if we continue down that path, if I had to play it out as the nightmare scenario, as a merchant, you you could be potentially faced with a decision of whether you even want to try to do business in that state, because this could be so onerous for you to try to comply with. Let's say you're on an e-commerce platform that you don't have the ability to tailor a message to someone within a particular state bounds, or what would the financial ramifications be, like from a fine or some sort of a something that would happen as a result of you not complying, right?
Yeah, I mean, all companies are subject to audit, you know, by states, sure. And the audits are done like state by state. So a state could come after any merchant. They tend to go after, they're hunting for dollars, so they tend sure. to go after the bigger companies. But you can get into, you know, a large remittance problem fairly quickly in a state like California, which is now the, now has an economy greater than Great Britain. Wow. At this point, they're like the fifth largest economy in the world just for the state of California.
Wow.
So,
and if you look at what's happening in the world in GDPR right now, there are very large companies here in the United States who have just decided that they can't sell into the EU for some time until they get their act together. And they've effectively turned off their
right.
their digital commerce presence in the European Union. Which means we have this really strange, where the web used to be very democratized, and we all had common access to the same site experiences, where we're starting to see it really very much depends on where you are, whether you can transact or even see a website now. Now imagine that on a state-by-state basis. That sounds awful.
Right. And imagine what that would do for your business. All of a sudden, I can't sell in these 20 states sure. or these 25 states. The biggest ones are going to be the ones that are the most burdensome, probably.
And it's probably very burdensome for a specific type of a company, too. If you sell snowboards, you're probably not selling a whole lot of snowboards in New Mexico.
Right.
Right. But,
right.
But you might.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, you. If you were a snowboard company based in, you know, say, Nebraska,
right.
and you were selling to Seattle, I could completely...
Yeah, they could decimate your own business.
Exactly, exactly.
So let's take the other path now.
Yes.
So let's say that the Supreme Court does decide in some way that would create some federal standard by which we yeah. have to transact. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the South Dakota, the way they put a regulation into place that they thought would have the best chance of being heard by the Supreme Court. Because they basically structured their regulations such that you only have to collect and remit if you have over $100,000 in a state. So
okay.
so the littlest companies probably still don't have to worry about it. Or though, if you have 200 or more transactions in a state.
Oh my goodness.
Which could trip up most companies
yeah.
or a lot of companies. So they tried, and the other thing that they did is they made it so it wasn't retroactive, which was one of the things that the Supreme Court, last time they heard this, was really afraid that the states would say, oh, you haven't been collecting,
right.
and we want
now
to go
you
back
gotta go
the
collect
next
the,
7,
yeah,
8,
yeah.
10 years.
That would just put certain business completely out of business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So depending on these thresholds, the court is trying to weigh, I don't want to be too burdensome on companies, you know, versus allowing the states to collect their fair share. So there are ways. I mean, if it goes down that path and you all of a sudden go from having physical nexus in one state or five states to 50, there's a lot you've got to do.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries for every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Emarsys is the largest independent marketing platform company in the world. Powered by artificial intelligence, the Emarsys marketing platform enables truly personalized interactions between marketers and customers across all channels, building loyalty, enriching the customer journey, and increasing your revenue. Each day, Emarsys connects more than 2,200 brands with 3.2 billion customers all over the world. Emarsys delivers over 350 million personalized interactions across email, mobile, social, and web. To learn more about how Emarsys can help your company scale marketing decisions and actions, visit emarsys.com/futurecommerce and request your demo today. That's Emarsys, emarsys.com/futurecommerce.
You can use a calculation and remittance service that automates the process, like Vertex, and there's other players in the market that can do that for you. You could also work within your e-commerce system and put all the rates and the rules in your e-commerce system, take on the burden of that yourself, but that's a way to do it.
Right.
It's a very viable way to do it. But you really have to start thinking about it. It would be way burdensome if you were, you know, not using some kind of automation, in my opinion.
Yeah. Is there a possible middle ground on this decision? Do you see another sort of like a different path that this could go?
Potentially. The Supreme Court could say this is still too burdensome.
Yeah.
You know, and they could decide on some level to make it less burdensome, or they could not hear it, and then another state puts forward next month a regulation that makes it 1,000 transactions instead of, you know, 200 or 2,000, and maybe they get it through. I mean, the train's coming down the tracks. One way or the other, it's going to be a burden from reporting and notice, you know, requirements the states puts on you, or having to collect and remit tax.
What? I have to wonder why Wayfair. Like this sounds like an interesting. It's an interesting company to use as the.
It is.
Right?
I've kind of thought about that myself.
Right.
Why were they? I think they might have taken the lead on the on the case.
Is it because larger companies that might be top of mind, like, you know, the one that starts with an A,
yes,
have seen this coming for some time and have decided to comply or police themselves to some degree?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because the company you're talking about actually used to only have Nexus in a small number of states.
Right.
And then when they started to try to get faster delivery, they relocated warehouses in more and more states,
right,
which gave them physical Nexus.
Sure.
So, but yeah. It's,
and 10 years ago, people were talking about whether having affiliates that receive commission payments for inbound, you know, referral traffic, if that's,
yes,
should be considered as, you know, having physical presence in a state. I know that this is going to be a moving target.
This is a moving target. And the company you're talking about, they have the biggest target on their back.
Sure.
So everybody goes after them first.
Right.
And
the fact is, though, if the Supreme Court rules in some way, it affects everybody.
It affects everybody.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Everyone will be affected. And I think that's an interesting point. Like, you know, as far as the, its effect on Amazon goes, the effect would probably be, and I don't want to say this because I don't know it exactly, but like compared to some other companies that have less Nexus, like,
yes,
they have, there are many companies that have much less presence throughout the U.S. And so it could, like, I'm looking around at this room and thinking about the merchants in here.
Right.
This is you know,
right,
let alone Amazon. This is something that could change things for everyone in a very big way.
Right.
So, if you don't have Nexus in a lot of states, but you sell to a lot of states, this should be perking your ears up more than anyone.
Right. A certain type of business could be adversely affected, disproportionate to another.
And I'm curious about Wayfair in particular, because I wonder if they were picked because they don't have as much Nexus. I don't know.
I'm guessing they were. And frankly, you know, they sell larger items, which sales tax can become significant.
Right.
And if they don't, and they're battling against much larger e-commerce players that are maybe have a cost advantage.
Yeah,
so
sure,
without having sales tax, you know, they can compete better.
Right.
You know?
Because they're selling like rugs and furniture and, you know, all of the stuff that's like really high value.
Yeah, you're at 8% onto $200, $500 sale, and it's a chunk of money that you'd start to think about, you know, buying from one company versus another.
So I'm curious what your take is, if when a decision is reached one way or another, I have to assume that the rest of the world takes notice as, you know, as the United States sort of makes its decision here. This has to be a conversation being had in other parts of the world as well. How do you see, is there some sort of an example, like how would this affect the global economy in some way? Do you think that at some point someone decides that we have to levy taxes and tariffs against other companies that do business in the United States that don't have physical presence here? That's the next level of conversation.
Right. Well, actually, we believe that, you know, if this goes into effect, it's going to apply to anyone that's selling to anybody in the U.S.
Wow.
So if you're, I was over in at a show over in Birmingham, U.K., a couple months ago, and I was talking to the merchants over there, and you don't have to be a real large merchant to decide to sell in the U.S.
Right.
Because you can today. You can get partnerships for logistics. You get partnerships for everything. You don't really have to have any presence here to effectively start selling, you know, internationally. So they got it pretty quick that, oh my God, this is a big problem.
Right.
I actually listened to a talk of a merchant who was about $150 million company. You know, not a tiny company, not a huge company though. And they had a big presence in the U.S. already. And he, in his presentation, he called out, it was a presentation about expanding globally, he called out, if you go to the U.S., you need a tax engine, which was music to my ears.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. So it was, but the problem is going to be, like, at the same schedule for international companies as for the U.S. And I do think, you know, in other countries, there's a VAT tax,
right,
typically, and that's typically even a lot higher than sales tax. So they're already, everybody's collecting something, and you have to register in countries for that. There's some similar reasons that cause you to register in different countries. But to your point, I think they all will look at that and say, oh, look at what's going on here. Can we tighten up our regime a little bit to make sure, you know, we're getting dollars on every sale that's made in our country?
I think that's happening a lot right now at a global level. There's a lot of the tit for tat, and I'm assuming it's going to be interesting. No matter what happens here, it's going to be interesting that there. It will likely just wind. I don't want to say like it's good for Vertex, but somebody's going to wind up having to make a decision on how they're going to proceed. No matter what happens. So in the next year, 18 months, you're going to have to do something. So it's better to know about it now and be prepared for it now, whether you're willing to take that burden on yourself or not.
Right.
Right. That's super interesting.
Well, there was one other. So as part of this process, we talked to a lot of accounting firms and tax law firms about what they thought was happening, what would happen. And one of them brought up an interesting point about most businesses want to be acquired someday in the future. Well, if you haven't taken care of your collection and remittance, the acquiring company will typically take an escrow out of the amount that they will pay you to say, maybe you didn't get audited, but we're going to get audited.
Yeah.
They're going to go back 7 years. So guess what? Shame on you for not collecting. But, you know, so companies should think about, you know, the other reasons why they might want to collect and remit as well.
Super, super interesting. So merchants that are listening to the show that are listening to get acquired, or they're looking to get acquired, they should really be paying attention to this.
Right.
Because the opportunity to, you know, when the acquisition opportunity does happen, there's going to be that huge moment where they're like, oh gosh, we didn't remit that.
Yeah, the sins of the past, right?
But we didn't get it right. We set it up ourselves in our e-commerce platform. We didn't get the rules right.
Right.
Oops.
Yep. Yep.
But an oops that could be substantial. Like,
well, they could kill the deal. Kill the deal.
Either kill the deal or just reduce the price they'll pay you.
Right.
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 Yep.
So
I find that, wow. When you think about what didn't exist 5 or 7 years ago technology-wise, and what companies didn't even exist, or what technologies are being adopted we haven't talked about it yet on the show on Future Commerce yet, but Jet Black, right? Like Jet Black.
Right.
Within the last 5 years, Walmart has changed its whole approach to digital. They've acquired many properties. ModCloth, Jet,
Moose Jaw,
like all these Bonobos, all these acquisitions that have sort of changed how we think about a business like Walmart. And Can you imagine that if one of those companies, you know, 5-7 years prior didn't have their tax nexus straightened out at that point in time, what that could have done for the way that we all are engaging in digital commerce today?
You know who else should be paying attention to this is VC, because lot of VC is coming in and buying out like a portion or investing in merchants right now. If they're not aware of how the merchant is gathering their taxes, and they like that is a key factor they should be paying attention to if they're not already.
Yeah. And we actually have people on our staff that came from tax offices, you know, tax staff departments in other companies.
Yeah,
right.
And they've confirmed that, oh yeah, when we made an acquisition, that was the first place we called in for due diligence to see how bad or good their situation was.
Yeah.
So it's a real factor.
Well, this has been really, really interesting, very informative. Have you been here at IRC? Have you seen anything interesting here at the show?
Not yet.
Okay.
I just arrived. Yeah. I just arrived, but I can't wait to get out on the floor and wander around today.
What do you look to get out of a show like this? Since I make the assumption that you come to these sorts of things a lot.
Yeah, I'm really looking for. This seems like a space that just changes very rapidly.
Yeah.
And I want to look. I was here last year. I just want to see what's changed. I mean, it seems like it's fascinating what other vendors are offering, what, you know, SIs are doing. I mean, it's just this is moving. So we are also in other spaces that just don't move with this velocity as e-commerce. It's really exciting to come to this show.
And if you think about, like, even 3-4 years ago, the people that had really big booths at a show like this who, you know, aren't even here anymore.
Right.
It does change quickly.
Philip, did you see any notable absences this year or anything that's different? That, you know, have you seen anything interesting so far?
I mean, I'm scared to name names because it comes back to bite me at some point.
We talked about this a little bit last year. There were some really big changes last year. I also just arrived, so I'm excited to get out there and walk around the floor and see what's different. We'll have to do a little additional recap.
Yeah, we'll do an additional recap on the show. But it's always great to be able to meet people, especially those that have you know, really interesting takes on topics. I'd love to hear. Maybe we should have you come on and talk about whatever happens down the road with the Wayfair case.
I'd be glad to. It'd be fun.
This will not be the last time that we hear content coming out of our Vertex partnership.
And
we're really, really excited to be bringing this kind of content to you. Anything else?
No, I just appreciate you guys wanting to learn about tax.
Yeah.
We don't get asked very often, so
it's
fun.
Well, it's super cool. Super cool
and
stuff.
It's
a lot of implications.
Very, very timely.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Well, Dave Pelton from Vertex, and again, special thanks to Aaron Kissling for making this happen. And if you need tax at some point, we all do, death and taxes, right?
Death and taxes.
Make sure you head over and check out Vertex and tell them that Future Commerce or Mage Talk sent you. I would love to let's go ahead and close it.
Well, you know, and as always, love to hear feedback from you. Come subscribe, leave us a comment. If you haven't already listened from a smart speaker device, make sure you say Alexa or Hey Google, play Google Commerce Podcast, Future Commerce Podcast. You know, leave us a rating, leave us a review. Yeah. Let us know what you think. With that, retail tech is moving fast.
And future commerce is moving fast. Yes. Thanks for listening.